it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, welcome into the Black Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle and Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving and you're enjoying the holiday weekend out Black Friday shopping or whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe sitting at home, watching a little sports. Maybe drinking some eggnog this morning. Who knows? Junie, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Am I turned up here?
You're turned up.
I can barely hear myself in the earphones here.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you, Nick.
What a magnificent boost that was.
No, absolutely. It was an excellent Thanksgiving. I was just telling you how I'm so accustomed to having cold turkey. I got my fiance's family in, and they probably made me the best turkey I've ever had. So I'm feeling really good, nice and stuffed this morning after Thanksgiving.
You were laying out the spread earlier. I'm pretty jealous as to what was going on at your household yesterday. Oh, a lot of good stuff out there.
Classic American, a little bit of Hispanic food. I mean, dude, it doesn't get any better than that, especially when you got some fresh guac on the table for Thanksgiving. That's next level.
Nick Keyser, how are you doing? Good morning.
I'm great, guys. Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you with us. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll take a look at Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow here in Nashville. Big one for the Doors as they try to become bowl eligible. Tennessee trying to get to double-digit wins for the first time in 20 years. So looking forward to that discussion. Coming up, we'll have Predators assistant coach Dan Highnote scheduled to join the show at 9 o'clock. TD, our man Teron Davenport, joining the show at 10 o'clock, so looking forward to that. So a lot to get to on the program. We will start by an interesting situation going on at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators have put out a statement. The Preds are scheduled to take on the Colorado Avalanche today at 1 o'clock, and the Predators just put this out about 4 minutes ago. Quote, Bridgestone Arena is experiencing a flooding today due to a water main break closing to the arena. We are currently assessing the situation to make determinations about this afternoon's contest and the college hockey game scheduled for this evening. So it looks like a water main break near Bridgestone Arena. And that is not good, Junior Reynolds. So we'll see what happens for the Predators and the Avalanche scheduled to take place today at 1 o'clock.
And it's something that, it's kind of tough on a Black Friday having a 1 p.m. puck drop and then having something like this. You know, maybe if it was a little bit later, they might have been able to, handle the situation. But, it is a holiday, and, it's not looking good. Seen a lot of videos. It's looking like Niagara Falls coming out there on the plaza. So
doesn't look great.
Hopefully the grounds crew there can work some magic and hopefully we can get some hockey tonight.
Sure, that's not what they wanted to deal with the day after Thanksgiving. So we'll see what happens on that front. We'll keep you updated best we can in terms of the information that's made available to us as of the status of Colorado and the Predators coming up at 1 o'clock. Some football yesterday, Junie Riddle. The Bills take down the Lions. The Cowboys take down the Giants. And Minnesota, in a great game last night, takes down the Patriots. So some big games in the NFL yesterday. Mississippi State wins the Egg Bowl. Lots of magical stuff going on in the football world yesterday. What did you make of the Thanksgiving Day football action yesterday?
Well, number one, the Detroit Lions put up a much better fight than I did.
They really did.
I saw that 9.5 line, Robbie, and I was like, I'm smashing that. Detroit's defense is awful. They just played there in Detroit. They're probably feeling a little bit comfortable. They actually put out a good game. And the Giants, I thought the Giants were going to give the Cowboys a better game, but it just seems like that team has New York's number. It doesn't matter if they're having a good year or not. The Cowboys just simply own the New York football Giants. Then the late night, the Patriots really kind of came out and showed that they can put out some good offense against Minnesota. I'm not the highest on the Minnesota Vikings this year like a lot of other people are, but I'd say that was one of the better games that I had seen all season, really. I mean, it was back and forth. It was high scoring. It went down to the wire. So, shout out to that game. And Kirk Cousins, primetime W.
He's playing well this year. He really is. And there's the primetime stat where if it's not a noon game on a Sunday, you're not feeling great about Kirk Cousins most of the time. But I will say, I mean, he's playing really well this year. And he's not going to ever be a guy like, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or anything like that that just wow you with their physical ability. But what he does do really well, he's extremely accurate. And he makes good decisions most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. And, you know, it obviously helps, too, when you got a guy like Justin Jefferson, who, you know, I've watched Davante Adams play a lot of football the last couple of years. Obviously, Tyreek Hill's been really good this year. Justin Jefferson, to me, is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. The guy's unbelievable.
Listen, I completely agree with you 100%. Justin Jefferson is just one of those guys. It doesn't matter if he's double covered, if he's being smothered. I'm throwing him the ball. He's going to find a way not only to high point and catch it in traffic, but he's also going to find those lanes in the zone to be able to find that opening to really help his quarterback. He is so quarterback friendly that it's really elevating Kirk Cousins' game. And I would really say that he is probably the reason the Minnesota Vikings are as good as they are. I mean, there's a couple games that you can point to this season that if this team did not have Justin Jefferson, they're the same old mediocre Minnesota Vikings.
Yep. Oh, so, for sure. I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, think about the catch he made against the Bills in that game to help them set up that win. It's just unbelievable. So the Vikings get a win. The Patriots go down last night. And, Junie, anytime you're a team in the AFC playoff race, as far as it's concerned to the Titans, good news on that front when they lose. Although, you know, the Titans, basically, we talked about this last week. You're at a point now where I did the math the other day. If the Titans win two more games, they get to, at worst, 9-8 on the season. That would mean the Colts would have to go 5-1 down the stretch to beat that record. And let me just tell you, that's not happening. So the Titans are going to win the division. They're going to win the AFC South for the third consecutive year. So it's maybe not the world's biggest deal that the Patriots lose yesterday in terms of your seeding. You're going to be 1-4 somewhere if you're the Titans. You're not going to be worried about a wild card race. But heading into this weekend, the playoff matchup would have been the Titans and the Patriots if the season ended today, and that's obviously going to change now this week, we would think. So just the AFC playoff picture, really interesting to keep your eye on as it relates to the different opponents the Titans could be facing, because I'm saying it, and people, I know, sometimes get nervous when we do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. The divisional race is over. The Colts are not going to. They're not going to catch the Titans. It's not going to happen.
And honestly, Jeff Saturday, I feel like, has been more impressive than what people have thought. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. You know, nearly beating the Eagles this weekend, probably should have beaten the Eagles this past weekend. He's been very competitive. I think that him, as a leader of men and as one of the, you know, the better offensive linemen in the Colts history, you know, he's really trying to get back to the bread and butter of this team, which is playing really good defense, running the ball, and using running the ball in the play action game and getting the most out of this limited receiving core that they have in Indianapolis. But, you know, when you're the Tennessee Titans and you've already swept the Indianapolis Colts, you know, earlier in this season, you already have a 3-4 game lead going down the stretch. And on top of that, you know, the Colts still have some pretty tough games as well. So I would agree with you, Robbie. I think
they got your Steelers coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a really good game. Two teams that are kind of starting to find their groove a little bit here. So that one's going to be interesting as well. Not going to be an easy win for the Indianapolis Colts. So something to look forward to there.
Well, and it's, you know, we talked about this on Wednesday. The game itself on Sunday between the Titans and the Bengals, and we'll get into that matchup here in just a few minutes, but it's one of the, really the only great games on paper this weekend. I think Joe put this out there. On Sunday, it's the only game that features teams with a winning record. So it's not a great NFL Sunday of football coming up. You know, some of those matchups, I mean, the Vikings-Patriots matchup was a good one last night. Cowboys-Giants obviously was a good matchup yesterday too, but it's not a great weekend of NFL football. But you take a look around, the Dolphins are taking on the Texans. You know, you'd feel like they would probably win that game, but Dolphins are a team that are going to be right in the thick of things as things come up here in the AFC playoff race. The Ravens and the Jags, like the race for the one seed, and we had some people ask about this earlier this week, like the Titans to get the one seed. What are the possibilities of that? I don't think it's great because it's going to require, right now, it would require Kansas City to lose two more times and for you to win out. And Kansas City, I think, is rolling right now. But I also look at the Ravens' schedule. The Ravens have a really easy schedule the rest of the way out. I mean, it is soft the rest of the way out. And I know it's the NFL, and they could drop a game. Look, they play Jacksonville Sunday. They could lose that game. We'll wait and see what happens there. But I just, as far as the one seed is concerned, based on the Chiefs' schedule, the Ravens' schedule, and then how difficult I think the Titans' schedule is, I don't think the Titans are going to be able to grab the one seed in the AFC.
I don't foresee it either, especially like you said, you know, they've already lost to the Bills and the Chiefs, and those are going to be your heavy contenders. So having two losses against those opponents are, you know, more than likely not going to put them there. I'd say the one advantage that they do have is that they play in a weaker division. I mean, the AFC East and the AFC West are two of the, you know, tougher divisions in this league. And although, you know, the Raiders aren't as good as we expected, they still gave the Chiefs a run for their money, only losing by 1 point in Kansas City. You know, the Chargers, the Kansas City Chiefs have kind of already, you know, taken care of them. But, you know, you play Denver, and that's a huge rivalry game. They got a really good defense. They might be able to slip one out. You never know. So, you know, there's still a lot to be said about this season. But going back to the Baltimore Ravens, you know, the Ravens, I feel like they're a team that always kind of gets the benefit of the doubt. I feel like they're also a team that plays down to their competition. You watch that game against Carolina. And Carol, yeah, it was brutal. I mean, what was it, 3-0 at halftime? It's like, come on. Like, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Mark Andrews, you got all these guys, and this defense, especially after getting Roquan Smith, was supposed to be elevated a lot more with him, you know, playing in the middle of the field. So I look at the Ravens, and I see them as a team that could, you know, they could beat anybody, but they could also lose to anybody. So I'm not really looking at them to get the one seed here. You know, they finished last in the division, so they're playing a last-place schedule. So that is kind of in their favor a bit. But, yeah, I definitely think it's going to be between Miami and Buffalo and Kansas City trying to get that one seed.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHudney.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Sunday. We'll get Junie's thoughts on that matchup and what this could look like for the Titans as they try to win against the team that knocked them out of the playoffs a season ago. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle. Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are looking ahead to the Titans and the Cincinnati Bengals coming up on Sunday. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Junie, obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about the playoff matchup between the Titans and the Bengals. This week, obviously, the Ryan Tannehill game from last year, a large point of discussion on that front. But as you look at this Titans team and this Cincinnati team this year, what stands out to you about this matchup coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Bengals?
Well, we were talking about it during the break. I said both of these teams kind of have an advantage against one another. You know, when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line compared to this Tennessee Titans pass rush, especially if you're getting a guy like Bud Dupree back this week, which I think hopefully we are, I look at that as a huge advantage because Cincinnati lets up a lot of pressures. Joe Burrow was the most sacked quarterback last season. I really feel like this defensive front is one of the best in all of football, and I think that they can cause a lot of havoc for this team. And you also look at it on the Cincinnati Bengals on their defense. You know, their one weakness is really their outside corners. I feel like this kind of plays into their hands because when you look at the struggles of the Titans offense, yes, they had a really good output from their wide receivers against Green Bay, but can they do that again against a really good defense around, you know, the weak corners of the Cincinnati Bengals? So, you know, the fact that the weakness of the Titans is really throwing the ball outside, and the one real clear weakness on this Bengals team is their corners, may give them advantage on their defense. So I kind of see this game really playing out similarly to how it was in the playoffs. I think it's going to be much more low scoring than what people think, and I think it's going to come down to the turnover battle. Can Ryan Tannehill protect the ball? You know, this Cincinnati team, they got a lot of good players on defense. Sam Hubbard, Trey Hendrickson on the edge. I think Logan Wilson is one of the most underrated linebackers in this league. I mean, look at Von Bell. He's having a career year back there at strong safety. Jesse Bates, one of the best free safeties in the game. And Mike Hilton, I'd say he's a top five slot corner in this game as well. So, you know, this defense is highly underrated for Cincinnati. I really think in order for the Titans to get a win in this game, Ryan Tannehill's going to have to protect the ball, and Derrick Henry's going to have to do a lot more than he did in that playoff game than getting just about 60 yards. So that's going to be the key for this team going into Sunday.
We will get back into the Titans and the Bengals coming up here in just a few minutes. There is some breaking news from the National Hockey League. We mentioned earlier the water main break around Bridgestone Arena and how that could impact the Predators and the Avalanche coming up today that was scheduled for 1 o'clock. The NHL has announced that that game has been postponed. So here's the statement from the National Hockey League. Quote, today's game between the Colorado Avalanche and Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena has been postponed due to a water main break that has significantly impacted the event level of the arena. A makeup date will be announced as soon as it can be confirmed. A decision on tomorrow's game between Columbus and Nashville, scheduled for Bridgestone Arena, will be made later. So if you were planning on heading down to Bridgestone Arena for the Preds and Avalanche today, don't do that. There will not be a game today. That game has been postponed between the Predators and the Avalanche. The makeup date for that game will be announced at a later time. And Junior, the Preds also scheduled to take on Columbus tomorrow. I have no idea whether or not that's going to happen. As the NHL said there, a decision will be made on that later. But we knew when we saw some of the videos coming out on social media of the water kind of flowing in and around Bridgestone Arena that today's game could be in jeopardy, and there will not be a game between Colorado and Nashville today.
Well, we were supposed to do our show this morning from Bridgestone, and I had showed up about an hour early, and I saw all the employees kind of hanging around waiting outside, and I was like, what is going on here? I was like, is there some kind of like newscast going on? Like, is there something breaking? And I tried to pull in the parking lot. They're like, sir, sorry, we can't allow you to get in there. So, you know, I didn't really know what was going on until, I made it back here to the studio. So really unfortunate for the Preds and Bridgestone Arena. I mean, this is obviously something that you don't want to see, especially the day after Thanksgiving. You know, the grounds crew is probably like, man, you couldn't have given us, one day on a different day, with all this stuff going on. So yeah, tough break for the Preds, especially having, two home games, in this pivotal time where they're really trying to get back on track. These were two home games that they could have really used. So hopefully they can get it all cleaned up and have Columbus play here tomorrow night.
Yep, and obviously not something anybody wants to see today, but we'll see if they can get that cleaned up for tomorrow. But if you missed it, the Predators and the Avalanche game scheduled to take place today at 1 o'clock, not happening. That game has been postponed due to a water main break around Bridgestone Arena that is causing some significant issues on the event level. So no game between the Predators and the Avalanche coming up today. We'll continue to keep you posted on the latest updates on that situation as far as it relates to the game tomorrow against Columbus as well. But, Junie, getting back into the Titans and the Bengals, I think you hit on something that's really important and that I'm really interested to see in this game. You know, Treylon Burks was really good against Green Bay. I thought that was one of the better games that Ryan Tannehill has played in a Titans uniform. Just when you consider the environment, the weather, the weapons that he has on the outside, I thought he was excellent in that game against Green Bay. So that's 2 weeks in a row where Tannehill and the passing attack have made some progress against the number one passing defense in the league in Denver a couple of weeks ago, and then last week against Green Bay. You're feeling good about where you're at right now if you're Tannehill in the passing game. Can you keep it going against Cincinnati? That's going to be the question here. And, Treylon Burks looked really good against Green Bay last week. That's the part of being a rookie, though. Can you take it from 1 week to the next? Can you continue to build on your performance? And I'm not saying he has to, break the 100-yard mark again to build on the performance from last week, but just being heavily involved in the offense, running the right routes, knowing what you're doing out there. I thought he was really good in that area. Showed a little burst, after the catch, which we've been kind of waiting to see from Treylon Burks so far this year. And then obviously the two deep routes. I mean, you connect on the two deep balls. That's what this Titans offense really hasn't been able to do so far this year. So it's twofold in the passing game. Number one, can you protect Ryan Tannehill long enough? Because at times that's been a major issue this year. And number two, Can guys like Burks and Woods, who had really good games against Green Bay, can they build on what we saw last week? If they can, that's when I start to view the Titans team a little bit differently. The one big hesitation I have with them right now is I love their defense. I love Derrick Henry in their running game. I love their coaching. Mike Vrabel, I think, is as good of a coach as you're going to find in the NFL right now. But the passing attack, or lack thereof, kind of scares me heading into the playoffs as it relates to them being a true threat in the AFC. You know, nobody's ever going to confuse Ryan Tannehill for Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, and I understand that. But if you can get your passing game to competent, I think your defense is good enough to keep you in some games there. So I'm interested to see if the Titans can do that and have a third straight performance where you're feeling really good about the passing game.
And I think it starts with the guys up front. You know, we've been harping on Dennis Daly and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, especially on the edges. And I think the way when Tannehill is at his best is when he's getting protection on the edge. And I think that these guys have been playing a little bit better. Obviously, you know, Dennis Daly is going to be, you know, susceptible for, you know, one or two plays where he's just going to completely let the guy go past him. So it's all about how Ryan Tannehill can step up and get through that and get past that. Now, you know, like you had mentioned, they had one of their best games against Green Bay, and it's something that I think that they can build upon. You know, you look at Treylon Burks, he's finally that deep threat that this team has been missing since the trade of A.J. Brown, and I really think that that kind of had a domino effect. I mean, we saw Robert Woods kind of getting open in the shorter and intermediate routes, and also Austin Hooper has been getting in the mix, yep. And you're finally using these guys that you acquired in the offseason and using them in the way that you want to. So Treylon Burks being that downhill threat that he is not only, you know, being a big play for this offense, but it's also opening up other guys in other areas, which is really helping Ryan Tannehill out. Ryan Tannehill, like you said, he's no Patrick Mahomes, he's no Josh Allen, but when things are going well, when the protection up front is good and you have guys that are making plays in the receiving core, this is what this team is going to get. We already know that this team can run the ball with Derrick Henry, but it's about how balanced they can be. And when this team is firing on all cylinders on offense with how good this defense is, they're going to be a tough out come December and January because of the way they play football.
Yeah, and on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of it's going to come down to health this week too. I mean, what does the health situation look like for the Titans? You've had basically the mini bye this week, so you feel good about that as far as maybe Bud Dupree is able to get back in there and see if he can stay healthy the whole game. You know, Christian Fulton's been dealing with a hamstring. What does his status look like this week? You know, on the other side, obviously, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and his status. There's a lot on the injury front that's going to be interesting to monitor this week. I just wonder, even for a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, who was in there on last Thursday against the Packers, how much did this extended break here maybe help him get back to full strength? Because if this defense is going to be what it can be and what the potential of it we've seen at times so far this year, they need him to be healthy. They need Bud Dupree to get healthy and stay healthy, which I have my doubts at this point as to whether or not that's going to happen. And obviously, I mean, Denico Autry and his injury situation now, you know, that's going to be something to monitor over the next few weeks here. But I've asked this question so far, I feel like 1,000 times this season, but I am genuinely curious. Like, the defense has been so good all year long, and I wonder how good it could be if people were actually all healthy at the same time.
100%. I totally agree with you, and I think with the loss of Denico Autry, that, you know, that makes Bud Dupree just that more important. I mean, with Bud Dupree in and out of the lineup and not having Harold Landry, you know, Denico Autry has been that answer for this defense that's constantly putting in a pass rush out on the edge, and without him, you know, where does this team go to? You know, I mean, they've done a great job with getting guys on the practice squad in order to come in and fill in and do good in the interim. But how long is that going to last going forward? And also, I mean, you're talking about them playing the Green Bay Packers, who have struggled on offense this year. You're talking about the Denver Broncos, who can't even get over 17 points in a game. You're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, who just went to the Super Bowl because of their high-octane offense. You know, it's going to be a tough test. And I was telling you, I was like, this is finally a game to where we can see, hey, is this defense truly elite? Can this offense, you know, put up good points against a really good team and compete compete against Joe Burrow and company coming into Nissan Stadium. So this is going to be a huge test and to see where this team is at and how they match up against the rest of the AFC. So, you know, they played a good game against Kansas City. Can they do that against another powerhouse offense in the AFC?
We'll continue to keep you updated on the Predator situation that's been unfolding at Bridgestone Arena. If you missed it, the Preds and the Avalanche postponed today. So no game today between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche due to a water main break at Bridgestone Arena. The game tomorrow against Columbus has not been decided yet, so we'll keep you updated in terms of what that could mean for tomorrow's game. But no game today between the Predators and the Avalanche at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have more on the Titans and Bengals coming up next, including the latest on the Titans injury situation. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Black Friday here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you missed it, today's game between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche has been postponed due to a water main break around Bridgestone Arena. So no game coming up today at 1 o'clock between the Predators and the Avalanche. The status for tomorrow's game has not yet been determined between the Predators and Columbus. So we'll keep you updated on the latest developments on that front. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Sunday. Mike on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I know it's a lot up in the air, but Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon weren't practicing this week. If both of them are out, the Bengals will be without a lot of firepower. Now, they have been practicing in some capacity. Joe Mixon has been out with a concussion, so he's not been out there yet, and you're just kind of waiting on the protocol at that point. But Ja'Marr Chase has been out there with a limited participation designation on Wednesday and then a limited participant yesterday as well. So, obviously, Junie, they have weapons outside of Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins is very good. Tyler Boyd is very good. You know, they've got a lot of places they can throw the ball, and Joe Burrow has had some big games even with Ja'Marr Chase out. But if Ja'Marr Chase can go, that totally changes what the Bengals can be in terms of their explosiveness. And when you factor in also that Christian Fulton has been a limited participant with a hamstring injury, that's a couple of guys right there that you really keep an eye on. I mean, Fulton, when he's been in there, has been really good so far this year, and he's turned into – you know, maybe not an elite number one corner, but he's been a bona fide number one corner for the Titans so far this year. And if there was a game where you needed to have him out there, it would be if Ja'Marr Chase is able to go and plan for Cincinnati.
I would say even without Ja'Marr Chase, because, I mean, really, T. Higgins steps up as a number one wide receiver when he's out. I mean, this guy is an absolute beast. You know, obviously, I watched him play my Steelers this past weekend, and he had an absolute game, a lot more possession receptions than he normally gets, more or less when Ja'Marr Chase is in there. He's kind of a downfield threat, but, you know, he can do it all. And Tyler Boyd is also another very well-balanced receiver as well. You know, they got Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst is a pretty solid tight end, highly underrated. I don't know why he keeps bouncing around the league, because he seems to be making plays wherever he goes. But, I mean, let's talk about Joe Burrow here, because, you know, Joe Burrow, he had the appendicitis to start the season. He had to go into emergency surgery because it ruptured, so he kind of had a slow start in that first game against Pittsburgh. And then, you know, when he played –
very slow start.
And then when he played Dallas, you know, we didn't really know exactly what the Dallas Cowboys were. Many people kind of expected them to take a step back, but that defense is absolutely elite. But since then, you know, he's been the most accurate quarterback in the entire NFL, and not just because he's throwing dink and dunks. I mean, he's throwing it down the field at over a 70% completion rate. So, you know, Joe Burrow getting it done one way or another. But, you know, I don't see Joe Mixon playing in this game. I think, you know, ever since the Tua Tagovailoa concussion situation, I just think that, you know, he had that in the Pittsburgh game. I likely see him sitting out in this matchup. But, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, they've been pointing to this Tennessee game as the game that he's supposed to come back. And when you see the implications on this game, it's not just the Titans that see this as a must-win. The Cincinnati Bengals are still trying to dig themselves out of a hole, and they're currently sitting behind the Baltimore Ravens. So yeah, they need this win just as much as the Tennessee Titans do, and that's why this game is so important, because there's so much on the line. You know, division standings, you know, seeding in the playoffs, who's going to be matched up with who in this tight AFC race. So, you know, like I said, this is going to be a huge matchup for both teams going into Sunday.
On the injury front for the Titans, Christian Fulton was a limited participant yesterday with a hamstring. So that's the thing with the hamstrings. You don't really know. Didn't practice on Wednesday, limited participant yesterday. So interested to see what Vrabel has to say about him and his status today. Jeffrey Simmons, a limited participant both days this week so far with the ankle. I'd feel pretty good about him playing. And then some good news on the defensive side of the ball. Bud Dupree, Amani Hooker, and Elijah Molden have all been full participants so far this week. So Dupree dealing with the hip, Hooker with the shoulder injury, and Elijah Molden with the groin. All three of those guys have been full participants. Particularly with Hooker and Molden, that's really good news. They could use both those guys back in there. They obviously need Bud Dupree. It's hard for me to get excited about Bud Dupree, Junie, just because we've seen this before. He's been a full participant in practice with the hip. He's come out, he's played, and then he's left the game. Like, he needs to – they got to have him on the field. And they've got to have him on the field for multiple games in a row. And that's just been such a problem for the Titans so far this year.
Well, I mean, they paid him to be the difference maker.
Yeah.
And so when, as a fan, and you're watching, you know, when he's on the field – about how much of a difference maker that he can be, it is constantly frustrating to see him go in and out of the lineup with injury, because this guy makes such a huge impact. I watched him in Pittsburgh. I mean, this dude is an athletic freak of nature. Like he really is. It took him a while to get going, but once he got it, I mean, he's a premier pass rusher in this league. And like we mentioned earlier, without Denico Autry, you know, who is going to be that guy on the outside that's going to get that consistent pass rush? You know, I think at this moment in time, like, Titans fans have to just be excited to get what they can get. If he can play and go, then that's something to be excited for in anticipation of this matchup, because you're going to have to need him. If there's any game that you want Bud Dupree to be in and to play the duration, it's going to be this one. The tackles for the Cincinnati Bengals are susceptible. You know, Lyle Collins, he had a pretty good game last week, not going to lie, but, you know, he struggled a lot this season. Yep. And if you put Bud Dupree over this guy, you know, that could be the difference maker in this game. Like I said, but Joe Burrow has been one of the most accurate quarterbacks. You have got to get in his face in order to disrupt him, especially if Ja'Marr Chase is going to be out there with the rest of this really talented receiving core.
Well, and we know from last time we saw this team play against the Bengals, they can get after the quarterback. Now, the Bengals have changed their offensive line. They put a lot of money into it. They put some draft capital into it. And I think especially early this year, the results weren't great. Joe Burrow was still getting hit left and right, and it had not worked out well. Now, they've been a little bit better since then, but it's still an offensive line that I look at. And with the way the Titans have played this year, you ought to be able to get after the quarterback a little bit in this game. So if you can have Bud Dupree out there, that would be great. The secondary to me is interesting. You know, if Christian Fulton can play on Sunday, this could be the first time all year that Fulton, Molden, McCreary, Hooker, and Byard have all been on the field at the same time. It'll be the first time all year if that happens. And I'm really interested to see what that could look like for this group. Hopefully, for Elijah Molden's standpoint, he's past the groin injury. It's a good sign that he's been a full participant the last couple of days. We'll see about Fulton. I mean, it's those hamstring injuries, and he's been dealing with it for a few weeks now. Those are tough, and it's a limited participation. I think there's a chance he may not be able to play on Sunday. So you're hoping for the best there. But I would love to see what this Titans secondary could look like with all five of those guys in there at the same time. We've not seen it so far this year, and I think they have a chance, if they could stay healthy there, be a pretty darn good secondary if all five of those guys could stay healthy.
Oh, I think it could definitely be a really good secondary, and you pair it with the defensive front up there. And also a guy that really does help in the passing game is David Long Jr. I mean, this guy's been making plays all over the field. It seems like he just has a knack and a nose just to get to the ball, whether it's in the run game or in the pass game. But like you mentioned, these guys all getting healthy, Amani Hooker probably getting dropped back into that normal safety position. You know, Andrew Adams did really well stepping in there. But, I mean, listen, Amani Hooker, the way he started this year, you know, getting two interceptions, him not being back there with Kevin Byard has kind of limited the playmaking ability of this secondary. And like you mentioned, when these guys are fully healthy, I definitely see this as a huge advantage for this team. And, I mean, if there's any time that you want your secondary to be as healthy as they can be, this is the game for it. I mean, I think with having the three receivers that the Cincinnati Bengals have, I mean, you could argue this is the best core in the league.
Yeah.
So the Titans are going to need to be healthy in this matchup. You've got to get the pass rush. Jeffrey Simmons is going to do what Jeffrey Simmons does. If Bud Dupree is going to play, he has got to give Joe Burrow fits on the edge all day long. The interior linebackers have got to keep doing what they're doing. And then, like I said, with Amani Hooker back there with Kevin Byard, I just think that creates so many opportunities for this team to be able to make plays, tip balls, force interceptions, because, you know, Cincinnati likes to take chances. You know, they're going to turn the ball over here and there just because they like to air it out, and they like to take big risks. So, you know, having these guys here is going to be very pivotal in order for the Titans to be in this game.
Let's open up our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Sunday. What is the key to victory for the Titans in your mind? Hit up our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. If you missed it, the Predators and Avalanche game scheduled today originally at 1 o'clock has been postponed, so no game today for the Predators. A water main break around Bridgestone Arena, so dealing with the after effects of that. Apparently it has caused a significant amount of stress at the event level area there at Bridgestone Arena. So no game today between the Predators and the Avalanche. That game will be postponed, and the makeup date will be announced for that at a later time. No information yet in terms of the availability for the arena tomorrow between the Predators and Columbus. So we'll keep you updated on that. Taking your thoughts right now on the Titans and the Bengals, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Junie, there's a key to this game from the Bengals' point of view that you were talking about during the break that I'm going to be really interested to see how it affects the game coming up on Sunday, particularly when it comes to Derrick Henry and being able to run the football.
Well, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals' one weakness on their defense all year long has been defending the run game. And we saw that when they played, Cleveland. Cleveland ran all over them. And even last week, you know, when they played the Steelers haven't been able to particularly run the ball very well. And Najee Harris was, you know, rushing for 4.5 yards a carry. But they got DJ Reader back.
Yep.
And this guy in the middle of the defensive line is a run stuffer. He is an automatic, I got to double team him. He is Jeffrey Simmons light for this Bengals defense. And what really kind of scares me about this is not only is his ability to play the run and how that could limit Derrick Henry in this matchup, because we know that Derrick Henry was limited in the playoff game when they played here at Nissan Stadium in the divisional round this past January. But how does that open up with the offensive line trying to protect Ryan Tannehill and you know, with the edge rushers that they have? You know, they got Sam Hubbard, Trey Hendrickson is really good. That's going to alleviate double teams on them and going to leave Dennis Daly and Nicholas Petit-Frere on an island. So this, I feel like the addition of this guy is going to be really huge in this matchup, and I think the Titans would be a lot better off if he did not come back this part of the year.
Yep, and it looks like he's going to be in there. He's a full participant yesterday with the ankle injury, so he's going to be in there coming up on Sunday against the Titans. And you know, the interior of the line. Number one, is Ben Jones back for you if you're the Titans? He's been a limited participant with a concussion protocol the last couple of days. If you get him back in there, Aaron Brewer back over at left guard. Obviously, you feel good about Nate Davis at right guard, but that interior of the line, can they answer the bell against a guy like DJ Reader? And like you said, Trey Hendrickson on the outside, he's a guy that can disrupt the game and cause a lot of issues for you if you're that Titans offensive line. So this is going to be a big test for the Titans offensive line. I thought for the most part they played well against Green Bay. Now, Green Bay didn't have Rashawn Gary in there, and that's a problem for Green Bay. The pass rush is limited when he can't be in there. I did think Preston Smith a couple of times really, really ate up Dennis Daly over there. So that's going to happen. I mean, it's happened every game so far. There's a snap or two where Daly just gets torched and Tannehill gets smoked. And you can't have that continuing as you move forward. You know, obviously you don't want your quarterback getting hit as hard as he's been hit at times this year, but that's been a trend for the Titans. I don't expect that to change magically at some point as they move forward here. So, you know, it's about getting the ball out. It's about, you know, holding on long enough to make the play, but trying to get the ball out before you get killed. And Dennis Daly, like, hopefully there's continuing to be some improvement. Like, I thought the offensive line for the Titans, it was their best game of the year against Green Bay. And they still had their moments where they got beat. They had their moments where the quarterback got hit. But for the most part, Tannehill had time. You hit the two deep shots down the field. They hadn't been able to do that pretty much all year. Like, I thought that was a big game for the offensive line. Now against what I think will be a stiffer test in this Bengals front than it was against the Packers, especially the Packers in the state they were in at the end of that game. Can you hold up in this game and have some of those passes develop down the field that we were talking about? And the other part of this is Derrick Henry. I mean, regardless of the way the passing game has looked for the Titans the last couple of weeks, we know that the focal point for the Bengals is going to be, how do you slow down Derrick Henry? Commit resources to slow down Derrick Henry. It's what everybody does when they play the Titans. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's going to be the game plan for the Bengals coming up on Sunday. And if you're him, you know, coming off two games that are, I would say, average by his standards, can you get back to being a dominant force in this matchup coming up against Cincinnati? And I know, based on watching Derrick Henry play and the way that he operates, he probably wasn't happy with his performance in the playoffs, even though he was coming off the injury at that time, and he'll be looking to run the ball and make a statement coming up on Sunday. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
And I also think in the Green Bay game, I think Green Bay did a pretty good job of, you know, kind of limiting his runs. He didn't really get
the They were big... selling out to stop him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, because of Ryan Tannehill in the game that he had against the Packers, that, you know, that's what really elevated this team to get that, you know, get that W. So, you know, this is going to be, like you said, a bigger test for this offensive line. And I think that Derrick Henry is the key to get this going because, you know, like you said, this offense goes where Derrick Henry goes. And, I mean, after the last couple performances, not only just in the playoffs this past year, but even the year before when this offense was a top five unit in the league, they still struggled against Cincinnati in 2020 when Cincinnati was really not even there yet. I think they only had three or four wins on the season that year, and they were still
getting – God, what game that was.
They were – exactly. I mean, it was a horrible outing for the Titans. So this is a hump that the Titans really need to get over, and I think it starts with Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry – can get going in this run game, it's going to open up the pass game. We already mentioned that the Cincinnati Bengals, the weakness on their defense is going to be the outside corners. If Derrick Henry can get 4 yards a carry in this game and keep the defense honest, keep 8 guys in the box trying to, you know, defend and protect him, I think this is going to give Ryan Tannehill an ample amount of time to be able to look and find his receivers, a big play or two to Treylon Burks, finding Robert Woods and Austin Hooper consistently over the middle like he did in Green Bay. That is what is going to be the key for the Titans, and it starts up front with getting a good push on this good defensive front against Cincinnati.
Well, and by the way, Derrick Henry is still the NFL rushing leader heading into this game. Saquon Barkley, just 11 carries for 39 yards yesterday. Oof. Against the Cowboys. So as far as the NFL rushing race is concerned, Derrick Henry still in the one spot, Saquon Barkley at number two, and then Nick Chubb at number three. Actually, Josh Jacobs at number three, barely ahead of Nick Chubb heading into this weekend. But Barkley avoided the big game yesterday. Derrick Henry still at number one heading into this game, the only back so far that's over the 1,000-yard mark.
Which is still kind of surprising with the, you know, the first couple games on the year about how he really got off to a slow start And it just kind of shows you the greatness of Derrick Henry, because I think anybody watching him has kind of seen that maybe he's lost a slight step, and the fact that he is still probably the best running back in the league just kind of speaks volumes. I mean, you know, the Hall of Fame conversation always pops up when it comes to Derrick Henry. For me personally, you know, being here in Nashville, watching him, I might be a little biased to say that I don't think it's even a question that he should be in the Hall of Fame for the way that he has dominated the last 4 to 5 years and been the best back in this era. But again, he has lost a bit of a step. The home runs are really not there. We're probably not going to see Derrick Henry break off the 70-yard touchdown run again, just purely because of age, nutrition, the injury that he's had to deal with last season and coming back off of that. But yet still the fact that he's leading this league in rushing yards with all the questions on this offensive line, the lack of a passing game, the way that defenses, you know, go up and put a huge 8 guys in the box, sometimes 9 guys in the box to try and stop him. It's just simply amazing watching this guy work.
We'll get back into the Titans coming up a little bit later in the show at 10 o'clock. Teron Davenport will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Sunday. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators, take a look at their game against Detroit the other night, and also keep you updated on the latest at the situation unfolding at Bridgestone Arena as well. Tennessee and Vanderbilt talk coming up next hour. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.